We are turning tonight to the last book in the Bible, the book of the Revelation. We considered this portion a little by way of introduction on Wednesday evening as we were preparing our hearts for the Lord's table. We will continue to do that in reading from Revelation chapter 3, beginning at the 14th verse. These are the seven letters to the seven churches, and this is the last one, beginning in Revelation 3 and verse 14. Let us hear the message that the Lord Jesus Christ sent to the Laodiceans. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. It was not that our Savior was created. He is the one who is the very beginning of the creation, for He made all things. And without Him was not anything made that was made, we're told in John chapter 1. Verse 15, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Amen. I trust that the Lord who has given this word so long ago will make it fresh in our understanding, that we would profit from it this evening, that the Lord will graciously minister to all our hearts for Jesus' sake. We are looking at verse 20. Of course, it is verse 20. This very familiar word that Spurgeon says is oftentimes mistaken as a word to lost sinners. It's actually a word directly given to the church. Verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. One-sided love is a very sad matter. A tender-hearted lover makes every effort to express hopeful affection toward the object of love. But there is little or no response. The natural result is a heartbroken forsaking of all efforts and a final giving up of every display of kindness and affection. Some of us here know such experiences of rejection and disappointment. Scripture reveals that no one knows the full sadness of rejection like our beloved Savior does. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. To His own beloved people, to his own chosen nation he came, and yet they rejected the loving Lord Jesus Christ. Both the Old and the New Testaments show us our Savior outside in the cold, left there rather than welcomed into his church in either of the Testaments. In the Song of Solomon, the 5th chapter in verses 1 and 2, there we see the sleeping bride picturing the church, faintly hearing the voice of the Beloved as he stands outside knocking and saying, "Open to me, my love, my spouse." But the sluggish, sleepy bride was slow to respond. And away the bridegroom went into the night. In the New Testament here in Revelation, it's very interesting in chapter 1 that we read in verse 17, John says, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death." It is this very one that gave these, that dictated these seven letters to the seven churches. And in the church of Laodicea, we see this message given as that church was warned by the patient, loving Savior as he stood outside the church door, knocking and knocking. The Greek language conveys the thought that he had been there for some time, knocking and waiting. It wasn't that he had just come up there. No, it had been a while. He had been there. He had established that position of standing. Now, how does he knock on the heart's door of his people, his church? Well, he gently knocks by his loving Spirit. That is the first and obvious way that he knocks, by his loving Spirit. He knocks by his gospel word of grace, his word of pardon, and his word of restoring mercy. And when the voice of his word and his Spirit are ignored, he begins knocking harder. He knocks with firm warnings of judgment and chastening. And that's what he's saying to the church in Laodicea. He says, "Whom I love, I chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." Finally, he knocks through afflictions, through sufferings, and even extreme troubles. He knocked at the church of Corinth through physical sickness, through spiritual anemia, and even by the deaths of several of the church members. Oh, how we ought to desire him rather than leaving him standing outside the door. We should yearn for him and we should pray for his marvelous visits of power to draw us into nearness with himself. And we should desire his reviving our hearts and his awakening grace in the church. We should be as the psalmist in Psalm 42. He says there, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." Or as the psalmist in Psalm 73, 25 and 26. He confessed, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Now that is healthy desire. Oh, that this would be mirrored in our hearts and echoed in our very lives so that we would earnestly seek Him and desire Him and open the door of fellowship and communion to the Savior as He knocks on the door of his church. And why? because His promise is true. Notice in verse 20, He says, "Behold," don't miss this, "I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." Now, if any man, that is anyone in the church, if any person in the church will open the door, I will come in. Here is the promise to individuals. Christ is ready to commune with any child of His that will respond rightly to His invitation and to His promise. What will He do? You notice in verse 20, He says, "I will come in." I'll not just come in. You'll not just have my presence. But He says, we're going to have supper together. We're going to have a meal together. Now, I have to say that in this neck of the woods, we have sort of our own usage of the language, as some of you have come from other places will recognize. Our principal parts of verbs are not always perfect, and we tend to do strange things with the English language. This sup, we sort of have sip and sup, but this is not what Jesus is saying. He is saying we will have a meal. The Greek word here is a supper meal, the primary meal of the day. Actually, an evening feast together. A soul refreshing, spirit reviving time is what He is promising. Now, how do you know when you've had such a feast with Christ? Either at His table or in your private place with Him. Well, here are some clues how we can know that we have had a real soul-refreshing meeting with our Savior. Such a feast to sup with Him and Him with us. There are times when He melts our hearts in love and praise to Him. And how marvelous that is. Even just in singing the hymns, our souls can be melted and our hearts drawn upward in praise and love to Him. That's a wonderful thing. I would love for that to have happened to me tonight. It didn't happen every week. But it's happened many times in singing the hymns together here. But there are also times when we're overcome by guilt and grief, sorrow and shame. And we don't usually look at times when we're overwhelmed with guilt and grief and shame and sorrow as being times of communion with the Lord. But Ezra said in his book, chapter 9 and verse 6, "Oh my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to Thee, my God." But even in a time when He brings us low in grief and in shame because of our sin, that is a time when He draws near, a time of sweet communion. Even when we consider His omniscience and realize that He sees us through and through, and all things are open and nothing is hidden from Him, so that we are forced to cry out with the psalmist, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." When we think, really consider that He sees us and He knows us totally, and there is nothing about us in the impulses, in the intentions of our hearts, the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. He knows every one of them before they become words or actions. He knows it so thoroughly. And that can be overwhelming and can really bring us into communion with Him. Well, this is real communion. It is so in times of repentance. He is near us in times of repentance, ministering grace and spiritual nourishment to our hearts. And there are times of affliction. times when we are brought low by affliction, and then we are brought to confess with the psalmist, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. The psalmist said in another place, it is good for me to be near unto God. And sometimes the Lord uses afflictions in our lives to bring us near to Him. But then there are times when we remember God's holiness. And we can actually be overwhelmed as we think of His perfect purity, that there is no spot in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that God is absolutely perfect and pure. And we see our sin, and what a blessing it is to be brought to that place. And then when we come to do what we are doing tonight, to especially consider Christ's sacrifice for us. In our place, instead of us, His dying instead of our dying forever. How marvelous that is. So listen to the Savior. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. Do you see that the Lord is saying it's not left to somebody else in church? It is to each individual. It is the responsibility of each believer to not leave him outside, but to desire him to be in the midst, in his fullness, in his blessing, in his ministering grace to our hearts, even as we come to his table tonight.